Hey guys, it's Scott. I just want to thank you for tuning into the Blue Ridge Church podcast. You know, I hope this is encouraging to you. I hope it's inspiring to you. And I pray most of all, it's going to help you on your faith journey. So enjoy today. Welcome to Blue Ridge Church. Welcome to our online campus. My name is Scott. I'm one of the pastors here at Blue Ridge. And today I'm going to continue in the series we kicked off several weeks ago called Unstuck. And the reason we're doing this series is because every single one of us gets stuck, right? Usually multiple times in our life. So we're tackling or addressing those things in our life that cause us to get stuck, especially when it comes to our spiritual journey. We can get stuck in many different areas of our life, but if that spiritual journey isn't right, we're going to be in trouble. So maybe today you're at home or you're here and you're like, well, I don't feel stuck, but I don't feel like I'm progressing at the speed I want to progress on my spiritual journey. I haven't done as much, you know, in the past couple years that I've done years prior. Well, this series is going to help us no matter where we're at on that journey. But the true point is to get us to address those things in our life that constantly keep us stuck. And the good news is there's a different kind of life that God wants us to live. And so that's our theme verse for this entire series, John chapter 10, verse 10. Jesus said this. He said, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." So that's a promise that Jesus brought to us, and that's a promise that he invites everybody into. To live life to the fullest, to not live a stuck life, but a satisfied life, right? Not a meaningless life, but a meaningful life. And he wants us to lean into everything he desires for us to have. So getting unstuck, we can live that fullness of life. And so that's really what we've been looking at. We've been looking each week at different things that get us stuck. Last week, we talked about our habits, our hang-ups, and our hurts. And how if we don't deal with those things, our life at the end is just a definition of all those habits, hang-ups, and hurts. This week we'll talk about something else. But what I want to encourage you to do, because we're going through stories of Jesus' life in this series, right? We talk about the things that get us stuck, and then we're looking at a story of Jesus' life in the Scripture. What I encourage you to do is to watch Jesus in these stories. Right? Watch how he interacts with people, watch how he talks to people, how he answers their questions, how he loves people, but most importantly, how he invites each of them into this fullness of life that begins with him. And I think the challenge by doing that is for us to be honest enough about who we align with in those stories. Because I guarantee you, there's going to be somebody in that story that you're like, yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. Like last week, I think the servants at the wedding in Cana, they had to dip a cup into a stone jar. They didn't know if Jesus had turned it to wine yet, or if it was Kool-Aid, or if it was still water, and they had to take it to their boss for their boss to drink. They had to do something very uncomfortable, something very unconventional, something that they were fearful to do, but they took a step based on Jesus' command. And I think for a lot of us, that's what we're going to have to do. So as you hear their story, maybe ask yourself, well, what's my story? Or if you imagine how they felt, ask yourself, well, how am I feeling right now about what I'm going through? So the person we're going to look at today is a guy that was stuck in religion. And his name is Nicodemus. And it's found in the third chapter of John. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through some verses, then we'll stop and we'll talk about it. We'll go through some more verses and cover most of the verses in this passage. So John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. There was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. After dark one evening, he came to speak with Jesus. "Rabbi," he said, "we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with us." So let's just stop right there for a minute. We learn right away, before he even opens his mouth, before he even says anything to Jesus, who Nicodemus is. He's a Jewish religious leader.
You know, and the religious leaders in Jesus' day controlled people's access to God. So that's what he does. And not only that, but he was part of an elite group. Excuse me, he was a Pharisee, which means he would have been a scholar. He would have been at the top of his game religiously. He may have even had a little bit of an air about himself, right? That, you know, we've got this figured out. We know all about God. We control God to the people. He was very well educated, yet he knows there's something different about Jesus. He knows there's something about Jesus that interests him. And so he feels compelled to approach Jesus and to talk to him. But what's interesting is he doesn't come to see Jesus during the day. And people have all kinds of theories as to why this is. Some people say, well, it was cooler at night. They could have had a longer conversation. But bottom line, the reason he probably came at night is he was worried about public opinion. Right? And remember, he's a member of this elite group of Pharisees who did not like Jesus. They didn't like Jesus at all. Jesus was pulling followers towards himself away from them. So, and you know, their whole time that we read the New Testament, they were out to get Jesus. They wanted to, get rid of him. And eventually they put him to death. So that's probably the reason he comes at night. He's worried that his Pharisee buddies are going to think, well, he's following Jesus now. He's on Jesus' side. He's not on our side. But the good news is at least he came, right? At least he took a step towards Jesus. And again, that's what maybe the Lord's waiting on us to do today, just to take a step towards him. Whether it's for a problem we're facing, something like we talked about last week, or it could be just curiosity. We don't have a relationship with Christ. I know not everybody has a relationship with Christ. Maybe it's just to learn more about who Jesus is. Or it's to work on a relationship, whatever. At least Nicodemus was willing to take a step. And he's probably coming to Jesus full of fear, right? He's probably got some preconceived notions because of what's been taught to him through his whole upbringing, but he still comes. And that's the beauty of getting unstuck. It starts with a step. And we have to be open. Hey, maybe there's something different about Jesus. I think we get into the biggest trouble when we think we know everything there is to know about Jesus, right? When we think we know everything about God and we are heading in this direction on our spiritual journey, but I can't learn anything else, right? We think we have it all together and we know God backwards and forwards, so we're not open to anything like Nicodemus was. And that's who this group he hung around with, the Pharisees, would have been. They wouldn't have been open to anything new, because they knew it. They knew everything there was to know about God. Because of their position, they would have been closed off to anything new. That's why they didn't accept Jesus. So if you're taking notes, learning number one, often our position in life gets us stuck. So for Nicodemus to break out of this way of thinking, to think that he had God all figured out, to think that he knew more than God, for him to step out of that and approach Jesus thinking there's something different about Jesus, this would have been huge. And maybe that learning rings a bell or strikes a nerve with you, right? Maybe we can see where we're at in life, either our vocation or our spiritual journey or what we do within the church or outside of the church or in our marriage. We've achieved everything we want to achieve. And maybe we can look at ourselves and say, hey, I don't have anything else to learn. If we're not careful, whatever position we attain in life, it can hold us back. That's exactly what happened to the Pharisees. So our reputation, our own pride, our position, our job, our vocation, it has the potential, if we're not careful, to hold us back from Jesus. And we see this all the time. We really do. It's the kid in the youth group who is well respected by his peers, but he's not willing to admit what he's looking at online. Or urge the youth or the adult that is teaching a group and encourages the group to be honest about, you know, their struggles, but they're not willing to be honest about their own struggles. Or it's the husband who doesn't want to have a conversation with his wife and really tell her how dire their financial situation is. He'd just rather keep that to himself. But often, our position can lead us to being stuck, or to feeling stuck, or to staying stuck. And then what happens is, because we thought we had it all figured out and we messed up or we didn't or we did something different, we start to cover up, right? We start to hide and we start to pretend that we're somebody that we're not, thinking, wow, if my wife finds out the real deal about me, or if my boss figures this out, then they're not going to accept me. They're not going to trust me again. So we have to be careful, because sometimes we reach this pinnacle, if you will, of our position in life, and we're not open to anything different, we're not open to anything new, and we start to hide our flaws. So let's look at this conversation some more and see what else Jesus and Nicodemus talk about. John chapter 3, verses 3 through 8. Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." "What do you mean?" exclaimed Nicodemus. "How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again?" Jesus replied, "I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it wants. Just as you can hear the wind but can't tell where it comes from or where it's going, so you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit." So learning number two, getting unstuck spiritually does not mean doing more. I mean, Nicodemus is confused. He's confused already, and now Jesus is really deconstructing everything that this guy's ever known. We got to realize that Nicodemus would have spent his entire life chasing after the proper religious posture, right? The proper behavior. He would have learned all the rules. He would have known the scripture. He would have memorized the Jewish regulations, I think 613 laws. He was at the height of his career. I mean, it took a lot to be a Pharisee. His religious training would have started very early in his life. By the time he was a preteen, he would have known the entire Torah. He would have memorized the Torah, which is the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. He would have been trained to be a perfectionist, to be an expert, to uphold all of those 613 Jewish laws, to never make a mistake. The message that Nicodemus would have been taught his whole entire life was do more, try harder, learn more, study more, memorize more, give more, do more. And then maybe then one day you'll measure up to what God expects of you. But then in verse 3, what's Jesus say? He said, nope, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus is basically telling him, look, to live the abundant life that I want you to live, this fullness of life, you can't do more to earn it. You can't do more to get it. You can't read more, study more, memorize more, or do more. And in no uncertain terms, Jesus says, hey, your relationship with God is not based on what you do. It's based on what God does. And then he starts talking in verse 5 and 6. Verse we just read, he said, I assure you, No one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans can produce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. In other words, he's saying, don't you see, Nicodemus? You cannot enter heaven. You cannot enter into eternal life based on your own efforts. And we know this. You read the New Testament, we know this. Listen to what Paul wrote, Ephesians 2:8 and 9. God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. So none of us can boast about it. Can you imagine getting to heaven and it was all based on works? And we're bragging about why we got there. Well, I got there because of this. And I got there because I worked with kids for 28 years at church or, you know, whatever. It'd be terrible. Eternal life is not a gift that comes to us because of all that we've accomplished. That's the message Jesus is trying to get over to Nicodemus. In other words, there's no amount of Bible reading we can do, no amount of worship singing, no amount of church attending, no amount of money giving that's going to get us into heaven. There's no amount of religious observances or traditions that we can do. There's no amount of do-gooding or pretending. There's nothing we can do other than accept Jesus, to just let him in to our life. It's all about what Jesus already did for us, right? Since the very beginning, think about this for a minute. If you go back in the scripture, since the very beginning, we've been separated from God, right? Because of Adam and Eve, and because they chose their way over God's way and sinned and disobeyed God. So God banished them from the garden, and they were separated at that point from God. That same separation carries on to us, doesn't it? Generation to generation, because of our sin, we're separated from God. And we could go back and we could point fingers at Adam and Eve and say, how could they have done that? How could they have messed up like that and disobeyed God? Listen, we do the same thing. We constantly choose our way over God's way, right? Think about sex for a minute. Guy in the back just woke up. Think about sex for a minute, right? God says this is to be reserved for the covenant of marriage. We don't want to wait. God says to forgive. Well, I'll forgive these people, but that person, I can't forgive them. That's going to cause me too much pain. Or, you know, how God tells us to seek him. And when we have to make decisions, we don't seek him for things like career advice or you know, this purchase or whatever. We know. We know better than God. Or we don't serve the way he says or be generous the way he says because we want to do what we want to do. We constantly pick our way over God's way. So what we need to understand is that separation is here between us and God. So what's supposed to close that separation? Because that's really what Nicodemus is trying to figure out, right? He thought he could close that gap by being a good person, by learning the whole law, by being a member of the spiritual elite, the Pharisees, by following the rules, basically by living his life strictly by the book. So Nicodemus has got to be disappointed. Because what's Jesus tell him? Nicodemus, you can't do it on your own. You cannot do this on your own. Well, then how? How do we close the gap between us and God? Let's read some more verses. John 3:14-15. They're still having this conversation. And as Moses lifted up the bronze snake on a pole in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. So learning number three, getting unstuck starts with believing. Getting unstuck starts with believing. I mean, this story seems a little weird, doesn't it? We've gone from talking about being born again and, you know, human life and spirit life, and then Jesus starts talking about a bronze snake on a pole. I mean, the poor dude's already confused, but what we need to understand is Nicodemus would have understood this story from the Old Testament because it was in those first five books of the Bible. I think it's in Numbers. So he would have memorized it. So this story would have meant something to him. It's the story of how God saved his people. How? Through belief. And I'll just share the story with you real quick, just kind of paraphrase it, but you know that God led his people, Israel, out of Egyptian slavery, right? And he was taking them into the promised land. And Moses was their leader. Yet God didn't take them right from Egypt and their slavery into the promised land because they had a lot to learn. They were incredibly disobedient, weren't, again, choosing their way over God's way. They were constantly complaining and grumbling. So God allowed them to wander in the desert for 40 years when they left Egypt. And while in the desert, they just kept complaining and moaning and groaning about God and what he was doing to them and moaning and groaning about Moses, their leader. And finally, God sent snakes, venomous snakes, and they bit the people. And some of the people died. And they realized their sinfulness, and so they cried out to Moses to intervene. They cried out and repented to God. And so God said, Moses, make a bronze snake and put it up on a pole, and if the people look at that snake, they'll be healed. It was how God saved his people through belief. Now let's think about this for a minute. Let's say you go hunting with your girlfriend and you're out in the woods and you get bit by a rattlesnake. And she comes climbing down from her tree stand and she says, look, all you got to do is look at the very top of that pine tree. And if you can see that pine cone at the very top, you're going to be healed. No, you're going to the doctor, right? You're going to urgent care, the emergency room. You're going to do anything and everything to save yourself from that rattlesnake bite. And see, that's what Nicodemus had been doing all those years. He was trying to save himself. He was trying to do whatever religious task that he could do in order to save himself. He had turned to religion and his works to save him. He was stuck in religion. He had turned to Bible reading and prayer praying and money giving and robe wearing and ritual doing. He was desperate to try to close that gap between him and God. And what did Jesus want him to do? Just believe. Like the disciples at the wedding in Cana that we looked at last week, they believed. Just like the Israelites in the desert after they'd been bitten by a snake, just believe. Jesus wanted Nicodemus to know, dude, there is nothing that you can do on your own to save yourself. But then Jesus tells him, it's a familiar passage of scripture for a lot of you, John 3:16-18. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God sent his son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him. But anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only son. I mean, that's pretty good news for Nicodemus, isn't it? This is all it is, Nicodemus. It's good news for us. We can pretend that we've got it all together, that we're doing the right things in the right way at the right time. We can pretend that we're following all the direction from God, and we can get to that point where we believe it's my merit, it's the things I've done that's earning me to heaven. That's what every other religion teaches, isn't it? You think about all the other religions in the world, that's what they teach. You know, Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist, as long as you've got the ledger in your favor, As long as you do more good things than bad things, then God's going to grade on a sliding scale. But you got to make sure your good things outweigh your bad things. And if you do a lot of bad things, just pray, and then they'll become good things. It's not just every other religion that teaches this. A lot of people who would say, I'm a Christian, they believe in this too. As long as my goodness outweighs my badness, I'm good to go. But the problem is religion is not how we get unstuck. It's the lie Nicodemus bought into, and it's the lie that we buy into all the time. Jesus couldn't have been any more clear. Jesus says we must be born again into a new life, a life with Christ. That's why he said, just believe. Look at the rest of this passage, John 3:20 through 21. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it, for fear their sins will be exposed. But those who do what is right come to the light, so others can see that they are doing what God wants. So here's what I want to do. I want to close today in a few minutes by asking you a couple questions. I don't want you answering them out loud. Don't want you raising your hand or shouting out your spouse's answer. You can write them down if you want to. You can open a note on your phone, write down what your answers are, or just put them in your mind. This is my answer to these questions. And the first question is this: on a scale of 1 to 10, and this is going to sound like a really churchy question, but it'll make sense to you. On a scale of 1 to 10, how confident are you that if you died today, that you would go to heaven? 1 being not very confident, 10 being confident. That's the answer Nicodemus is trying to figure out in this story, right? So just think about your answer, write down your answer, record your answer. Don't overthink it. How confident are you on a scale of 1 to 10 that if you died today, that you would go to heaven? And here's the second question. Standing at the gates of heaven, and God asks you, hey, why should I let you in? What would you say? Could be a word, could be a sentence, could be two sentences, could be a paragraph. Just write it down or record it in your mind. What would you say? This is why you should let me in. So let me give you the answers I think Nicodemus would have given to these two questions. Remember, he's stuck in religion. And I think he would have given somewhere between a 6 and an 8 on that first question of his confidence that he was going to heaven. You know, I've been a good person. I'm a 6, or I'm a 7, I'm an 8. Maybe that's the answer you gave. Maybe you gave somewhere between a 4 and an 8 or a 5 and an 8. We'll say things like, well, I'm a 5 because I still do a lot of bad things, but I've done some good things too. Or, oh, I'm an 8. You know, all I got to do is clear my browser history when I get home. Yeah, and then start controlling my anger, and then I'll be an 8, right? Or maybe even a 9. If we gave that answer in that range, it's a good possibility that we're stuck in religion, just like Nicodemus was. And then the second question, Nicodemus would have said, you need to let me into heaven, God, because I've been a good person. I'm not perfect, but I followed the rules. I've tried really hard. I served you my entire life. I memorized the Bible and the Jewish laws, and I'm faithful to go to temple every time I can. You need to let me in because I'm a good person. And I think a lot of us would give that exact same answer. God, you got to let me in because I've been a good person. I've loved some of the people you put in my life. I've loved my dog. I love my cat. Right? And that's pretty hard to do. That should count for something to God. You loved your cat. I get it. But that's not the answer that Jesus wants us to give. When we get stuck in religion, it prevents us from leaning into the life that Jesus wants us to have, that fullness of life, that abundance of life. The answer he wants us to give is, hey, the reason you should let me into heaven, God, is because I believe in Jesus. He paid for my sins. I've been born again into a new life with Christ. It's that simple. We should be able to say, God, I know there's nothing that I can do to repair my relationship with you or close that gap. But you're the one that sent your son to do that. And he's in my heart. And for that, I'm thankful. So if you want to change your answer, go ahead and change it. If you have a relationship with Christ today, I can tell you with 100% confidence you're a 10. You're going to heaven. Because Jesus said, just believe. That's where the unstuck life begins, by believing. Admitting we're a sinner, saved by grace, and inviting Jesus into our life. The unstuck life also ends with Jesus. It's a daily walk, folks. We're never going to get it 100% right. He wants us to learn more about him and become more like him every single day. Let's pray together. God, thank you. Thank you for the story of Nicodemus. Thank you that it shows us how we can get hung up on religion and trying to earn our way to you. Thank you that you've already taken care of it. You've already paid the price. You sent your son Jesus to stand in our place. For that, we're truly thankful. Maybe you're at home, maybe you're here, and you've never invited Jesus into your life. You've never admitted you're a sinner. You've never believed. That's all it takes. Maybe somebody told you, hey, you got to stop doing this. You got to get your life in order. You got to start doing some good things. Jesus said to come to him and just believe. So if that's you today and you want to invite Jesus into your life, I'll lead you in a prayer to do that. Just say, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know my sin separates me from you. As best I know how, I'm inviting you into my life. Make me a new person. I want to be born again into a life with you and not live my old life without you. God, thank you that you've been so merciful for us. Help us as a church to continue to tell others about you. Amen. So, as we finish up, if you invited Jesus into your life for the first time, would you do me a favor? And would you stop by the Hub on your way out? They have a gift to give you to help you on your spiritual journey. If you're watching online, make sure you tell your online host that you invited Christ into your life for the first time today. If you need prayer, our prayer team, like every Sunday, will be up here in front of the stage and will be just glad to pray with you about whatever is on your mind. If you're worshiping through giving, you can do that online. That helps us so much. Or if you're in the auditorium through the black boxes. Next week, during our 11 o'clock service, we're having our next Blue Ridge Church 101 class. That's where we discuss the style, structure, strategy of the church, and just kind of the inner workings of why we do the things that we do. I firmly believe before you get too involved in a church, you ought to know what the church is about. So if you want to come to this same service next week and go to that class, you can do that. Just sign up on your connection card or stop by the Hub and tell them on your way out. Sounds like I'm getting really emotional, but it's my throat. So thank you guys for being here. God bless you. Have a great week. And thank goodness it's going to be warm. Keep praying for warm weather. See you next Sunday. God bless you.